Very frequently, Tosh Rebbe Zatzal used to speak about the upcoming Yortzeits throughout the week, in that upcoming week of Tzaddikim. And we have, when he talks about Chavav Av, which was today, so today, this year, is the 40th Yortzeit of the Divrei Yoel, the Satmar Rebbe Zatzal. So this would be 10 years after he had passed away in 1989. The Tosh Rebbe was speaking about the Satmar Rebbe. And what he writes is very applicable. Again, just understand the geography behind it. So Satmar Rebbe is buried in Kiryas Yoel, right? And the Tosh Rebbe is in Canada. So he wasn't there physically on the Yortzeit. How he says, "Yehi ratzon she'yizku lepoel Yeshuas Rabos b'yom hilul delay." A person can be poel Yeshuas on the Yortzeit. Yortzeit in the Svarim is called the Hilula, which literally means a wedding. It's a day of celebration. It's a powerful day. Kibyom hilula shel tzadik, because on the yortzeit of a tzadik, yesh koch gadol lepoel kol yeshuos. He could accomplish powerful things. V'lo rak, not only lo she hamish tachim al hatzion hakadosh, not only those who are there davening by the actual kever, ela kol mi shemispalo yeshia v'zchus at tzadik, and davens for Yeshua and their zchus zoich yeshua b'kodesh. They'll get it. Kibedava ruchani, because when it comes to something spiritual, lo shayich inyan shel richuk makom. So that's a powerful thing that we talk in physical space. Of course, you know, you could be closer or farther to something, but when it comes to spirituality, as it says the Tosh Rebbe, that the distance is not necessarily ma'akev. So you think, okay, so I don't need to go there. No. Aval becholzos, despite all this, yesh koch gadol yoser, it's obviously much better, kesher zoichel hishtateach al hatzion, you're able to go to the grave, shehamokam sham mesugu yoser shatzefilos yiskablu. So there's a special Indian that'll be more readily acceptable there. V'gam yash, v'gam yesh his orus gedola v'mokam menucha satzarek. And also, so I spoke to a chassid today who told me that the minhag is the Rebbe goes, the Rebbe Shlita goes to the kever tomorrow morning at 5:30 by himself. Then the Olam goes there at 8:00. They say the entire Sefer Tehillim, and then they go daven shachris. So, since we're not physically going to be able to touch, we'll learn some stories just to share a few beautiful stories. This brand new Sefer that came out very recently, the Art Scroll put out a biography Rabbi Yisrael Besser wrote on the Tosh Rebbe. So I wanted just to share a few amazing stories in there. So during the war years, the Rebbe was in a type of work camp, and he had the ability to leave sometimes and to go out. So he tells the Maisa where the Rebbe was Erev Shavuos, and he was exhausted from all the hard work, and he rushed to go into the town to go daven Maariv with a minyan. He had to come back to the labor camp. He wanted to stay up that night and say the Tikkun Leil Shavuos. He was exhausted. He could barely stand, so he takes a sefer in his hand, and there was walking in the courtyard in front of the barracks, you know, back and forth quickly, and then a guard is watching there and says, "This is very odd. There's this strange young man walking back and forth with a book in his hands. He's speaking softly." So he goes and he demands an explanation from the Rebbe. The Rebbe said he was just, you know, simply taking a walk. The guard doesn't accept that, so he said he has a custom. The Rebbe says, "I have a custom to stay awake on this night." "So really?" The guard says, so why aren't all the other Jewish people here also awake? "Come," he says very maliciously, "we'll go wake them all up so they can also keep the custom." So he starts shouting and kicking and slamming the doors. The guard woke up every one of the inmates and insisted they get up in honor of the day. So Tosh Rebbe was overcome with pain. His own chumrah had now resulted in other people losing their desperately needed sleep. So he articulated his anger at this soldier who acted with such cruelty, using a single word to express his feelings. So the story is brought down. It says, many years later, Tosh Rebbe was walking down the hallway in the yeshiva he established, and one bacher called another bacher a meshugana. The Rebbe overheard and was distraught. He called the bacher aside and spoke with him about using refined speech. Then he shared a personal detail. "I only used that word once, and it was because the person deserved that sort of title. He wasn't human." The Rebbe shared the painful memory of that Shavuos night. "I wanted to be machmir and ended up waking others. They needed to sleep so badly, and this guard woke them up. That's complete madness, to deprive human beings their basic need. So I used that word. But for you to speak that way to another bachar is unbecoming." So you see that special, that refinement in speech and in maisim of the Tosha Rebbe. There's another story that it's known throughout the Sfarim. The Rebbe speaks about the, you know, have covered for the shul. So he brings down one Shabbos. The Rebbe was very disturbed. People were talking during davening. So he said, turns around and faces the tzibur and he says, "I love you all very much, but we stand here before the Master of the world, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that calls for certain conduct. We don't speak to each other in his presence while davening to him. People who feel they cannot keep this rule are welcome to daven in other shuls. We don't send Yidden away, but I won't be upset if you choose to go elsewhere." So that's an idea about saying it in a sweet but firm way to understand, you know, the chashivas and the importance of davening. Again, just the sensitivity the Rebbe had. There's another beautiful story that by the Tish. It was one night, and there was a visiting Rav, and they sat him in the chair that was usually, or he sat, whatever it was, in the chair that was usually for the Rebbe's son-in-law, Rav Daniel Avigdor Fish. So the Rebbe realized that his son-in-law was going to soon come to the Tish, and there would be a good chance that this guest Rebbe would be uncomfortable, and he realized that he was sitting in the wrong place. So it might embarrass him, and the Tosh Rebbe didn't want that. So he immediately turned to the Gabbai and asked him a favor. He says, "Please go to my son-in-law's home and ask him, if he can lay in the Parsha tomorrow. I'm too tired to prepare this week, and if he stays home now, instead of coming to the Tish, he'll have enough time." So, thank you. And a very close chassid who saw the entire exchange understood what really happened. The Rebbe leaned every single Shabbos and never asked anybody else to substitute, but he saw a potential problem, and he devised a solution and executed his plan all within a very few seconds. So again, story after story about the sensitivity towards others. I think I said this in previous years. One of the Gabbayim told me by the Tosha Rebbe, he says, sometimes say, "Well, I couldn't start to tell you stories. I'll never finish. I can't even begin to start to tell you stories about the Tosha Rebbe. There's just you know, so many stories about them." So the Rebbe used to sometimes go into Montreal. Now Tosh was outside of Montreal, but on one of the visits into Montreal, the Rebbe told his driver they wanted to go visit a particular older couple. So they're walking up a very steep staircase outside their home. And the Rebbe asked the Gabbayim when the last time it had snowed in Montreal. So they said it snowed 3 days previously, but they couldn't understand why the Rebbe was asking the question. So an elderly woman then opened up the door very slowly, and she was surprised when she recognized the visitors, the Tosha Rebbe. So she was so overwhelmed, she asked the Rebbe and his whole entourage to come into the living room where her husband sat in a large chair. And the gentleman was clearly out of sorts. He appeared unkempt and filthy. The Rebbe accepted the hostess's offer of a drink and watched as she made her way through the kitchen, barely able to walk. In order to pull open the refrigerator, the Rebbe noticed she needed to pull on a scarf attached to the handle, and after a few tries, she got it open. The Rebbe sat with them for a few minutes, then asked the woman if her husband was bathed regularly. "Yes," she assured the Rebbe. "The nurse had come earlier that day." The Rebbe nodded, thanked him, and left the house. So when he gets back in the car, he turns to the Gabbayim. "She said a nurse came today. It snowed 3 days ago, and the stairs have no footprints at all, so clearly no one came today or even yesterday, and she doesn't realize it. They need immediate help. Please call their son in New York, arrange for an airline ticket. I'd like to see him tomorrow. Tell him he's urgent and he has no choice." So the next day, the Rebbe, himself in his mid-80s, sat with his guest from New York, explained the responsibilities of a child, and offered funding so the man could make suitable arrangements for his parents. So others saw snowy steps on a steep staircase, but the Tosha Rebbe saw clues and hints to guide him in his quest to assist others to ensure an elderly couple be fed, bathed, and taken care of properly. Beautiful, beautiful stories. I'll do one more, and then we will learn a Torah, the cover of the earth site. A chassid came to the Rebbe for help. He made some errors in filing his taxes and was facing a serious government penalty and possible jail time. He was desperate for a bracha before a scheduled meeting with the government representatives. The Rebbe asked him when the meeting was and then thought for a moment. "Tell me, who are your employees?" asked the Rebbe. The chassid listed various salespeople, administrators, and secretaries. "No," said the Rebbe, "there's someone else. This businessman can think of no other employee except the custodian, Frank." "Yes," said the Rebbe, "that's the one. I want you to give him the file and send him to the meeting." The chassid was astonished by the advice, but decided to follow the Rebbe's direction. He returned to the office and told Frank there was a very important meeting the following Monday at 9 o'clock in the morning. "Frank, I need you to dress accordingly and be here by 8 o'clock sharp," the boss said. Frank agreed, and Monday morning the boss waited impatiently for his arrival. 8 o'clock came and went, but Frank did not appear. It was 8:15, then 8:20, but the custodian still didn't show. In despair, the chosid called Tosh asking for guidance. The message came back, the boss should keep waiting. Finally, Frank came in at 8:30, all apologetic. He felt very badly, but he had been out late the night before and gotten drunk. He was sorry. With no time to spare, the boss drove him to the government building, sending Frank in as the company representative, the requested files under his arm. The custodian was sent to the office of the auditor, and he walked in and stopped short. Seated at the table was a middle-aged gentleman who looked up and saw Frank, and was just as astounded. The night before, Frank had gone to a basketball game. There had been an unfamiliar man sitting next to him, and they got into talking over the evening. They enjoyed the game together, discussing each and every detail, and developed such a bond that after the game was over, they decided to go out together. Over drinks, they celebrated the win and reviewed the particulars of the game, sitting there until late in the night. And now, just a few hours later, they were facing each other once again. Overjoyed by their good fortune, the new friends embraced and immediately picked up the conversation from the night before. The auditor lifted his stamp, barely looked down, and stamped each of the papers, closing the case as he enthusiastically chatted with his friend, Frank, the employee the Rebbe had chosen to represent the company. So, amazing. Moifis from the Rebbe. The Avoda. The Sefer is called Avoda Savoda for a reason. You know, I feel when learning pieces from the Rebbe, I personally feel that it's as if he's talking to me. The shmooze he gave to the Bochrim that year, he's discussing that already it was past Shabbos Mevorachim for Elul, and it's a time to be Maor oneself. And he spoke to the Bochum and says, imagine the following. You're tired, and you're hungry. He says, the month of Elul is a month of Pidyon Shavuyim. He explains, to redeem someone who's captive. And the Neshama is a captive inside the Guf. So the Pidyon Shavuyim that we do in the month of Elul is to free our Neshama from the physical things that are holding back, Taivis, V'chulei. So he said, imagine a person would be given a great sum of money, we'll say $1 million. So if a person be told, here's the money, you count it. As much as you count, that's what you get to keep. So even if a person's tired, he's going to count the money. Even if a person is hungry, they're still going to count the money because that desire for the gashmius, for the money, overwhelms them and is more important to them than their sleep or their hunger. So too, Lahavdil explained to Tosher Rebbe, when a person has a cheshik for avodas Hashem, so they're willing to combat that. They're willing to wake up earlier, if they're willing to stay up later, and they're willing to push themselves and to break the body from its taivas, from its natural inclinations in order to do avodas Hashem. That was the mahus of the Tosher Rebbe. One was constantly pushing himself and others to steig in avodas Hashem. So this is tonight is the fourth yahrzeit, and yehi zichro baruch.